The selected scripture today, the change, is still in Psalm 17, verses 6 through 9. I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. Show me the wonders of your great love. You who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who are out to destroy me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Before I start the sermon, you want to hear a little bit of good news? That'd be good. So you know, there's been this government shutdown. It's affected members of our church. It's certainly affected the community in which we live and the nation as a whole. And we're really happy to hear that hopefully that has ended, and we hope that things will be worked beyond the three-week period that's been described. But a lot of people have been impacted. So you gave a very generous Christmas Eve offering. It was over $276,000. It was a lot of money. And one of our main partners that will receive money that we described to you is Cornerstones. They work with some of the most vulnerable people in our community, and they have had especially lower-income federal workers contacting them for some help. So we called them up this week, and we said our plan was to give you $65,000, but we're going to bring that up to $90,000, and we'd like you to use that differential for people affected by the shutdown. And this was before we knew the shutdown had ended, but there's going to be a little lag time before those paychecks come. And I just want you to know your church is actively doing things in the community. We've also bolstered Grace Ministries this month. And if you know people that are in that lag time before the income starts again, we're going to have an extra distribution, and there's not going to be a lot of paperwork. We've simplified it by not receiving some of the government aid on that. We can lower the paperwork requirement, and we have bolstered the food that will be present. So just let folks know that that's true. It probably want to be here about 8 in the morning is the way that goes. But I just want you to know we've been actively doing that, and if any of you are having issues, come tell your church, because we've tried to let you know in a couple different ways that we're here to help, the church is here to help, but I'd be more than pleased to talk to you about that after the service. So that's what's happening. Glad to see the shutdown end, and we want to pray for all of our political leaders to continue the good work that keeps things moving. With that, would you bow your heads and pray for me and with me? Lord, I want to pray that the words of my mouth would be words that you could use. There is something that happens, Lord, when we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit, and even it's so obvious when that happens, when the music occurs and when we sing together and hear others share their gifts that way. But it can even happen in the preaching. Even these words of mine, you can use. So I pray that each one who gathered today would hear something that would be useful and beneficial in a source of wisdom for their life. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've told you before, there's a little voice that's in my head. I think it's in some of your heads too. And one way that you really know that, I'm just curious, this is going to be like, now that we all got phones that have video cameras, how many of you have ever seen yourself in a formal video? Not just like a video that you took for 2 seconds, but a video that other people are going to see. Just show of hands. How many of you have ever seen yourself in a video? Yeah. How many of you enjoyed seeing yourself in a video? Yeah. Notice that no hands are in the air. So we've been, during Lent, I wrote this book recently called Reckless Love, Managed to Make the Deadline. We're going to use that during Lent. And I've been filming with some other people the videos that our small groups will be using over the past 3 weeks. Really interesting to do that with laryngitis, but that's another sermon. And so in these videos, it's a conversation with me and someone else in each of the videos, and I had to review those this week. And reviewing yourself in video is probably one of the most emotionally painful things you can put yourself into. Lots of emotionally bad things are going to happen to you, but that you can actually sign up for. And I was watching it, and I just realized, as I was watching it, the other people always look and sound great. They do. They just, I mean, they were fantastic. I mean, honestly, I was like, wow, did I choose? I'm a good chooser. of people. These are going to be great. But then I would look at myself and I would just be like, I could just hear the little voice in my head. Like, why are you holding your mouth like a chipmunk? Like, why? On the video will be run a long time. And then no one uses the word unloyal. The word is disloyal. Why would you say English, man, English. You know, and then, you know, I look at myself, I'm like, that is a big nose. That is a really, it's like this big, you know. So you just, do you ever do that? And the other people look great. And I'm waiting, like when the video ends, I'm waiting for the editors who are right there with me. I'm waiting for them to give me the bad news. I know it's coming. I know they're going to say, your face looks like a chipmunk and you said unloyal and the other stuff we don't even talk about. But remarkably, they didn't. I mean, I was just blown away that they didn't. I kept waiting for it. And they said, what do you think? And I said, I think the other person looks great. And Charlie, who does this for a living, says, that's what people always say. Which tells me that I'm not the only person with a little voice in their head. Do you have a little voice in your head that tells you, you don't look right, you don't sound right, and other people are going to find you weird? That voice is as ancient as time. That voice, I think, has been in every human head. Now, when we were first created, we didn't have that little voice. When we were first created, we felt good about God and others and even ourselves. It's right there in Genesis 2. In Genesis 2, God puts Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and this is what it says. Adam and his wife were both what? Naked. You just said that right in church. They were both naked, but they felt what? No shame. Now that, I mean, honestly, we say that. We all know the story, probably, but if you think about it, like, naked, and they felt no shame. Tells me there was no voice in their head. Eve looked at Adam and said, when I wear this, does it make me look? And I was like, no, nothing to be ashamed of there. I love it when you wear that. You look great, my love. And then a little while later, we go, my hands and my feet have a lot of hair on them. I mean, is it weird? Is it like really gross, all that hair? And Eve looked at him and said, no, you look great. No. No, besides, it's going to be night soon. It gets cold. You'll like that. It'll be good. They were naked, but they weren't what? Come on. They were naked, but they weren't what? Think about that. Doesn't the little voice just tell you to be ashamed all the time? And see, what happened when they didn't have the voice, they made a decision to do the one thing God asked them not to do. God had told them many things they could do and one thing they shouldn't do. And of course, being people, they did the thing that they shouldn't do. Do not eat of the tree. And they just said, well, now I got to have that. And they ate of the tree. And what's interesting is, while before they had had this relationship with the Lord where they walked in the garden and they were naked but not ashamed, once they ate of that and they knew they had done what God told them not to do, from then on there was a voice that brought them shame. And the scripture says in Genesis 3 that the man and the wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden. This is after they ate of the fruit of the tree. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord said, where are you? Because you're usually out in the open. And the man answered, I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked. And the Lord's next question is, who told you you were naked? What voice told you to be afraid of me? And ever since, human beings have been afraid of God, afraid of each other, and embarrassed about themselves. Why did you make that chipmunk face? Why? Who says unloyal? No one. They say disloyal. These little things, and some far bigger, because that voice that lives in our heads, if you can identify with what I'm describing here, that voice that lives in your head, it is actually, whew, it is tough, isn't it? It is really hard. It is sometimes cruel and critical, sometimes unaffirming and punitive, and it has a long memory of every dumb thing you've ever done in your entire life. Amen? And it always brings that stuff back up. It is your critic in residence. And it's all, I think, connected to this thing that happened in the beginning and the thing that happens in all of our lives as well. Because Adam and Eve's story is not just their story, it's our story in many ways. Having invited something bad into their lives, they think all their life is bad. And they can no longer see their good. And the voice keeps telling them that they should feel insecure with God, with themselves, and with others. And God has been trying to silence that voice in human lives forever. So it's really interesting that Adam and Eve feel distant from God, distant from each other, and even ashamed of themselves. And it's interesting that the great commandment in Deuteronomy, it's called the Shema, which means in Hebrew, hear, to hear. And the commandment begins, hear, O Israel, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself, is what Jesus added to it. Jesus drew that also from Deuteronomy. We're going to be talking a lot about this commandment this year. It's going to be sort of a thread that's going to be woven in our time together. And I want you to think about how when Adam and Eve got out of sync with God and each other and with themselves, what God does with the Shema, with the great commandment, is to say, I want to heal your relationship with me. I want to heal your relationship with each other. And I even want to heal your relationship with yourself. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul. Remember when you weren't afraid. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself, as yourself. And I think the Lord has been trying to silence the voice. Do you ever hear that voice in your mind the way I do? No, real question, do you? And I think to do that, we have to look to what God's people have been doing over the millennia to deal with this problem. And I think one of the things that we are called to do is to have confidence, not in ourselves, but in God's love for us. So when I say have confidence, I'm not inviting you to a bigger ego. I'm not inviting you to walk around and tell everybody how great you are and how marvelous you are, even though I'm sure you are. I just think that what we do is we have confidence in God's mercy and love of us. And it's in this psalm that Margaret read, Psalm 17, says it this way. The psalmist writes, and think about the confidence it took to write this down. Because remember, the psalms were originally written, and somebody's with a piece, you know, well, whatever they're writing on, and, you know, they're putting it to paper. I call on you, my God, for you will what? Well, you've got to be confident in God's love to believe that. I mean, are you telling me that when I call the Lord picks up? Is that what you're saying? Does not let it go to voicemail. The psalmist said, I will call on you, O God, for you will what? You will answer me, and then says, turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. Just pick up. Show me the wonders of your great love. And then look at this. You who save by your right hand those who take what? Refuge in you. So what the psalmist believes is that if we will turn to God and take refuge, no matter what the circumstance is, and many of us are dealing with some pretty big circumstances in our lives, bad decisions we've made, bad decisions others have made, and frankly, the voice is already telling us how we fouled it up. And it's exhausting after a while. And the psalmist says, what I do is I take refuge in the Lord. Because, look at this next line, because God will keep me as the apple of your eye. You wondered where that expression came from. Here it is. What does that mean? I mean, just think about this. You and him, you're the apple of God's eye. This guy right here, apple of God's eye. The one in the back, on the aisle, turquoise, apple of God's eye. Can I ask you something? Oh, look, live stream people. The people at home with the flu, you don't feel like you're the apple of God's eye, but you are. There is good news for you today. Drink liquids. Remember that you're the apple of God's eye. I was with you last week on the couch with my little laryngitis. The prayers of many had been answered. But you're the apple of God's eye. It's an amazing thing. But let me ask you something. Do you feel that way about yourself? I'm curious. Some of you have been told that God loves you from the time you were old enough to remember anything, and you actually believe it. Others of you have been told that over and over and still don't. Because the voice, for all of us, overrides the message. But imagine how powerful it was if you could so have confidence in God's love for you that not only would you feel it for yourself, but you could believe it for others who can't believe it yet for themselves. And you would become a spokesperson of the good news, a spokesperson to say, you know what? God loves you, and no matter where you went, whether you're at home or at school or at work, in those moments when people come to you and they feel like they need to take refuge somewhere, you would be able to say, hey, remember something. You're not only the apple of God's eyes, but the Lord will hide you in the shadow of God's wings. So like God being a mother hen, that's the image Jesus gave us, the mother hen who puts out the wings and the brood just comes up and pulls underneath there. Or last week, I was driving down the road and I saw an eagle. I'm talking a full-blown white head, the whole thing. Eagle right out there on the side of the road. I couldn't believe it. And the wingspan. And then the week following, I read this, and I hide me in the shadow of your wings. I thought about an eagle up on a perch and the eaglets. Do you believe that God loves you that much? Because I'll tell you something, many of you are in some bad weather. Where do you take your refuge? Can you have confidence? That's what the psalmist gets, is the confidence, not in himself, but in God's love for him and God's mercy for us all. So there's this confidence thing, and if you have the confidence, what you'll begin to do, especially in difficult times, but in all times, times when everything is going so well, you can be a contributor, you'll start to tell the voice to be quiet, because the voice wants to limit you. The voice never wants you to get out there. Terry Wardle is an author, and in a book he wrote, the book is about identity. Let me get you a title. Identity Matters is what it's called. Terry Wardle, he talks about when he was a boy, he got this like fixed up secondhand leftover Schwinn bike, and he got to the age where he knew how to ride the bike. He said it was a baby blue girl Schwinn, and he said it was his ticket out of the yard. And he said he wanted to get to another part of the town, and he got to the age where his mother finally said, if you want to take the bike and go ride around, go ahead. And it was his day. It was the day of days. You remember that day? And he got on the bike, and he said he went down the road, and then he took a right on this little, across a creek. There were some railroad tracks, and then he crossed those, and then a little bridge went across the creek, and he said that bridge was the bridge too far. Because when he got on the other side of the bridge, there were four boys who popped out all of a sudden, blocked him from getting across the bridge, grabbed the handlebars, and shook him off. And he said, I knew in an instant these four boys were going to beat me up. And he said, I looked at them, and they looked at me and said, where are you going, kid? And the other boy said, yeah, where do you think you're going? You think you're coming over here? And he said, I was just going on my bike. And they said, who are you anyway? What's your name? And he gave his name, but he did it in that high-pitched pre-adolescent voice. He said, I'm Terry Wardle. And then he noticed that they kind of stiffened when they heard the name. And one of the boys said, you know Tom Wardle? Now, Terry said he knew Tom Wardle, who was a distant cousin and a good bit older than he was. Tom Wardle was the defensive end of the high school football team. And even though it was a distant cousin, he felt like it was a time to maybe enhance the truth and say, yes, that is my brother. And suddenly everything changed, and the four boys said, oh, you know, we were just messing around with you. No problem. In fact, if anybody ever gives you a hard time, you come get us. And they put him back on the bike, and off he went. And he said, he'll never forget that moment when he said the name that changed everything. And I would argue that this little voice in your head is a bully that wants to keep you in a limited space and to tell you you'll never amount to much. And you can't go out there and have the adventure that is life because you don't have enough. And the name you want to name when the voice begins to speak is not Tom Wardle. The name you want is Jesus. Because what Jesus reminds us is that we are deeply loved, that we are sons and daughters of God, that we have the right to that, and that God is actually with us, especially in the hardest times of our lives. And that God's mercy does not end, and God's love is beyond measure. And if you will have that confidence, then you will do the second thing, which is just to claim your gifts. And I'm not telling you, again, I'm not describing, walk around, tell everybody how good you are. I'm saying that at some point, you actually have to look at your life and say, I have certain gifts that I have to contribute in my home, in my community, in my church, and at where I work, and anywhere else you go. And we've given you this book, Living Your Strengths. We've asked you to read that book and to take the StrengthFinder survey because that book links your strengths to the spiritual gifts listed in the Bible and to other biblical passages. We're doing that because we want you to claim these. And I know that the book is written in such a way that kind of it feels to me like it has a little bit of a focus on where you work, whether that's at home or in an office space, wherever you work. But I've been thinking, what if I applied those strengths to my home? What if I applied those strengths to my marriage? What would that look like? But unless I claim my strengths, unless I claim my gifts, unless I have confidence that God's actually given them to me, I won't claim them anywhere. I'll listen to the voice telling me, you don't even have any. Or the ones you have aren't as good as what other people have. Or the ones you have, you don't even know how to use. Because everybody's got a voice. It's been with us since the beginning of time. But I love the confidence that the Apostle Paul has and that's in the Scripture. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, the passage that many of you know, he says there are different kinds of gifts, but there's the same Lord, the same Spirit that distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Do you have the confidence to believe that the Holy Spirit has put unique gifts in you that not only serve the church, but serve your home and everywhere you go? You have to claim them. You can't claim them until you have confidence in them. And it's not having confidence in you. It's in having confidence in what God has put in you, and when the voice begins to speak, saying to the voice, Jesus says, I am loved. Jesus says, that face is okay. If the nose is problematic, it was the creator of the universe who put it on the face. I do need to work on my English. Got it. I'm still loved. You have to have a conversation with that voice. or it'll just take over. And the more pressure you're under, the more the louder the voice tends to become. And finally, I would encourage you to celebrate you. That's why I want you to take the strength survey and to look at the spiritual gift section in the book. I really want you to celebrate how God made you, because I think God made you in a beautiful way. And you may have done things in your life, as all of us have, that you regret. You may have things that you wish you could undo. You may have sins that you currently need to get rid of. You're still loved. You're still valued. And you are still of great value. I want you to identify your strengths so that your life can prosper, so that your strengths can impact your friendships, your family, all of your relationships, so that it can help here at the church expand God's kingdom, and everywhere else you go as well. Once you celebrate who you are, you will celebrate the people around you, and you will see things in them they don't even see in themselves. But you cannot, if the only thing you hear is a voice tearing you down, you will never be able to help the people around you properly. It just doesn't work that way. You can only give what you have, friends. I love the way the Bible builds us up. You know, I invite you to celebrate you because it makes all the difference. You remember a couple years ago when the Cubs were in the World Series? Do you remember? I mean, it was just such a miracle, right? And they were ahead in the final game. They were ahead 6-3. And everybody's like, they might actually win. But you know, if you're a Cubs fan, do you actually believe that they can actually win a World Series? Do you believe that? No, because of the goat curse, you know. It's perfectly reasonable to believe they'll never win. Well, they do have a 108-year history of not winning prior to that, so that adds in. But in that game, it was 6-3, and then, was it Cleveland? Cleveland tied it up. They tied it up, and you just feel the momentum of the game shifting, and then remember it started raining like crazy, and then they had to bring out the cover on the field, and the teams had to go back into the dugouts, and the team says, that in that moment when they were feeling the momentum go away from them, move away from them, when they were starting to doubt themselves, it was the right fielder, Jason Hayward, who stepped up, and he looked at the team, and he said, "You have the best regular season of anybody this year. You went through two layers of playoffs to get right here, and it's in you. It's in you." In fact, the phrase that he used is this: we have to remember who we are right now. Just think about that phrase, remember who you are. Like when the little voice is talking, remember who you are. Not you're so great, but remember how God's made you. Remember the gifts you have. So Hayward says this, the rain stops, they go back out on the field, top of the 10th, two go-ahead runs, win the game. I wonder how many times in your life, if you or someone around you could have just said, remember who you are, you would have made a better decision. You would have offered a gift that you were told by the voice you didn't even have. And God would have used your life. And I wonder how many times now God will use your life. I wonder how many of you will be able to walk out and just embrace you the way God does, to believe that God loves me and therefore I can trust my neighbor and I can even trust myself. What a miraculous thing to believe that we are so beloved and so gifted. Amen. Amen.